You are listening to episode 303 of the Mindfulness-Based Weight Loss Podcast with me, Lucia Hawley.
Welcome to the Mindfulness-Based Weight Loss Podcast, the show for women like you who have tried restrictive diet after diet and are ready for simple, thoughtful solutions to help you sustainably lose weight for the last time from a place of abundance and peace. If you're looking to end the yo-yo of comfort eating and rigid weight loss protocols and instead step into living your life mindfully on your terms while losing weight in the process, you're in the right place.
Hello, hello, party people. Welcome to the show. How are you doing today? I hope today has found you well. As I sit down to record, I'm like, what are my updates from the week? What have I been up to? What have you been up to? That's what I really want to know. How are you doing? Mostly I've just been doing my thing. Haven't we all? I will say something that's been really interesting as I near the end of my second trimester is like in the maybe middle of my first trimester, I definitely felt like days where I was more hormonal. Like I would have days where I would just get, you know, would feel really hot and angry about stuff that like, I really am not a very angry person, like at all. Most of the times if I feel something or some discomfort, like I let it come and then it goes and it's not too much of a big deal. But there were some days, and it was so interesting with, I mean, what else would it be but the hormones? It was so interesting then, like having these big, it almost just felt like a big like flush through me of an emotion, mostly like just feeling like, you know, my fuse was shorter or that I needed like more time by myself, even though I spent a lot of time by myself day to day throughout the week. Like it was just really interesting. And then that feeling kind of subsided and I felt pretty darn even keeled and like back to my normal self through the second trimester. And it's been really interesting the last week or so. I had a couple days last week where again I was like, oh my god, I feel like a teenager. And I was like, you know, in the shower today and I was like, man, I've got to remember this feeling because I really haven't felt this since being a teenager. And, you know, going through puberty and having those hormonal changes. And shoot, you guys, it gives me so much compassion for, you know, when this little one becomes a teenager and all teenagers that I know now and will know in the future. Like, it's tough having hormones and having hormones change. And it's not bad, but, you know, empathy and sympathy, two different things. And I feel like it had just been such a long time since I had felt, you know, like not in charge of my hormones in that way. I've talked on here plenty before about like my thyroid hormone and Hashimoto's and feeling very hyper and hypo when I've been in flares. So I'm like no stranger to some types of hormonal fluctuations that are perhaps beyond the realm of quote unquote the norm in day-to-day adulthood. And of course, pregnancy, you know what I mean when I'm talking about this, right? Anyway, I'm just sharing that like, it's been really, really interesting to have these hormones and have to accommodate them and be like, it's okay. It's okay. And there's no problem I have to solve for when I'm feeling so like, really, it's just like I haven't felt super weepy or super sad. I can get a little more emotional, I think, in any direction, but more so for me, kind of the big ones where I'm like, whoa, that's not really like me. It's just feeling more like quicker to be frustrated or like angry and not having to problem solve that. And also not feeling guilty. I think that's been my practice. Anyway, that's my update, is that it's like, because as soon as I start to think a ton about the hormones, then it's like, you know, what do? It's humans. We go into problem solving mode. We want it to go. And then we're thinking about it and then it's not going. And so I think there's a fine balance between distracting yourself from an experience you're having, right? Like, I think distraction, we can take anything into an unhealthy place. But distracting yourself isn't necessarily supportive. But also being able to utilize something that shifts your attention, yeah, that can be classified as a distraction. And there can be a time and place for that. So I've been noticing I've been having to be really kind to myself, even though I already am quite kind to myself, just in different ways, maybe not as practiced ways. And within that kindness, I've been leveraging some, I would say, healthy distractions. Whether that's reading a book or watching a really dumb TV show or looking out at the clouds in the sky, noticing the white cloud versus the blue sky, seeing the clouds finally break after an overcast morning and like appreciating the blue sky. I know that sounds so trite, but this is the stuff that for me at least, it helps me to stop, because you know when you feel a big emotion, you kind of fixate on it because it's big, especially if it feels more negative or it's one that you're like, I don't want this right now. this is not convenient. So it helps me not to get rid of the feeling, but just to kind of like stop the fixation on myself. Like I was saying, in terms of problem solving or in terms of like, ew, this is uncomfortable. I don't like this. Or, oh, how come I had such a good day yesterday? I thought I was out of that phase. Wait a second. Like, that's how I'm feeling today. It's so interesting. Last week, like I was saying, I had a couple days where just super hormonal. And then they lifted. And I was like, oh, great. Yay. Moving on. Had a great weekend. And then today, I'm recording on a Monday. I'm so hormonal again. And I'm like, oh, I Rickrolled myself because I thought I was done. I was like, totally thought I had it neatly squared away that last week. I was like, yep, those were my couple of days. And now we're back to psych normal, quote unquote normal. Anyway, okay, that's my update for you. That's how I've been doing. But overall, I'm doing really great. All things being said, right? Like, I'm not going to argue with my humanity. So on today's episode, we are talking about believing in yourself. I think a lot of us need a reminder. And even my little intro right there, you know, honestly, that probably ties in. Anything that I just did to support myself was just me like believing in my like natural state of well-being and that I do come back to it. And that it's not a big deal if I leave it because it's right there for me. And the way that I get to it is not by like trying to force it. Okay. So that's really what I wanted to share with you today is that your self-belief, believing in yourself to do a thing, to be healthful, to experience peace, to have, gosh, physical fitness, to move through an injury, to prioritize eating vegetables, to practice having more processed foods in the house, whatever the area is that you feel like you are lacking in or that hasn't happened for you yet, especially around health and wellness in general. To me, I think very often it boils down to believing that you don't have enough self-belief or believing that you need some level of confidence that you don't already have and then thinking a whole lot about that. But what I want to say today is that self-belief is a natural state of being. It isn't the thing that requires the work or the hustle. And I think that that can feel really backwards because in order to feel confident with a task, let's say. Let's focus just for clarity's sake on one of the healthy habits. Let's say that you're trying to get 8,000 or more steps a day. Let's say you're consistently lower than that and you're starting to bring awareness to your steps and you're practicing getting 8,000 or more because you want to, right? So with that, what does that entail if we have a habit that we decide, okay, I have a habit of a certain amount of movement and now I want to change it to a different type or different amount of movement. I want to increase my movement, my daily movement. We have to believe first that we can do it. You have to hold the belief. Yeah, I might be getting, let's say 4,000 right now and I want to double that to 8,000. You have to believe that you can get to the 8,000. You have to hold that belief. And then from there, you have to show yourself that it's possible because very often when we say there's something that we want to do, our brains will come in and say, well, you can't because, XYZ, there's not enough hours in the day, you're too tired, work is too busy right now, you're about to go on vacation, like whatever the reason is, or multiple reasons are, your brain will serve you up some reasons that probably feel very legitimate and perhaps really are legitimate, right? Your brain is really saying, well, how am I going to make this happen, okay? And we could talk about setting realistic goals or smart goals or yada, 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 but like that's not really the focus. The focus today is understanding that self-belief, believing in yourself is, that's the focus. But before I get into that, what I wanted to make a point of is that in order to believe that you can accomplish a goal, you have to first set the goal or the desire. And then from there, you might hear as I'm talking, you might hear my dog snoring in the background. I don't want to wake her up because she's being really cute. Can you hear her? Maybe you can. Anyway, you have to remember that you can be the person confident enough in yourself to set a goal and then to smash that goal. That's the type of self-belief I'm talking about today. And that self-belief is different than the literal application of like dedication to doing the thing to show yourself. In this case, oh, I can get this amount of steps per day. I can walk while I'm on the phone. I can take the dog out for a 10-minute walk. That does give me an extra, you know, 1,000 steps per day. Oh, I am stacking the little things that give me what it is that I say that I want. The proof is going to be in the pudding once you start to do the thing, okay? And that's different, though, than your self-belief. Self-belief is a little bit more nebulous versus tangibly showing yourself, oh, I do the thing, then the thing does happen, and then I choose to do it again tomorrow. That's more of the tangible stuff, okay? But the intangible self-belief, maybe meaning the stuff that is not, you can't really put it down on the to-do list versus, oh, you could put walking the dog for 10 minutes on a to-do list and then check it off once you do it. That intangible self-belief, it doesn't require work or hustle. And that's what I wanted to say today. Self-belief is something that you already practice. A lot of us spin our wheels feeling like we have to be confident in our confidence in ourselves before actually applying, just doing the darn thing and practicing and getting enough time in the practice under your belt so that you actually become practiced at doing, in this case, walking 8,000 steps a day. But what I want to add to that is that that self-belief, as it is something you already practice, what I want you to do this week is to look for the areas in your life you already know you can do the things or you are the person you know yourself to be. And if that sounds like a lot of word salad, what I mean by that is that most of us take for granted a bunch of tasks that we do every single day. Like if you wear contacts, are you getting your contacts in every single day? Do you actually, are you so well-versed and practiced in that habit, which is a health habit? Are you so well-practiced in that habit that you don't even think of it as something that you couldn't do? It's just something that you do now. But maybe when you first started, I'm speaking from experience, maybe when you first started wearing contacts, it was very burdensome and maybe it was scary to put your finger or an object near your eye. Maybe you had to overcome that because it was a new task to you. You get what I'm saying? But now because it's been 10 years, 20 years plus, that habit and practice no longer feels like it. You even have to think about believing in yourself or not. It's just kind of a given. Now you might have days where you wear your glasses instead of your contacts. Maybe your contacts irritate your eyes after a certain amount of hours. We're not talking about preference here. I'm just using this as a very easy example of like, you, when you do something enough, you can become so practiced in it that it just becomes a part of who you are. Even if you don't want to be doing the thing, you still know you can do it. Catch my drift? So, that self-belief didn't come from work or hustle. Yes, you had to practice something tangibly to get decent at the tangible thing. But what I'm trying to get across is that your ability to believe in yourself is a natural part of you being a human. And I think sometimes we forget that and we think it takes a lot of hustle or work, and we get so focused on the areas that we feel weaker in, areas that are newer to us, that we forget that it can be simple when it comes to self-belief, because we mix it up with actually doing certain habits. So before I sat down to record, I typed, you know, sometimes I type a kind of a framework to what I'm talking about, and sometimes I just go for it. And so I typed a framework. And one of the things that I thought people might be asking is, well, then that all sounds good, Lucia, but like, are there steps to self-belief? And I typed with like a winky face, wouldn't that be nice, right? If we made self-belief into another to-do. And I feel like that's like the opposite. What I'm trying to share here is that when you allow yourself to move through a stress or a stressor, and anything new we do in some way, shape, or form is a stress and a stressor. Once we move through that, that's like just us moving from that sympathetic stress state into the parasympathetic rest and digest mode. Parasympathetic mode is where we feel curiosity, we experience happiness, is where we feel relaxed. That's a natural state of well-being. That's our health and wellness right there. So I can't really, and I'm no psychologist, but I can't really believe that there are steps to self-belief. I think actually it's just understanding how our human brains work, that we might have a conceptual idea of who we are and that we might be confusing that with the things we do, but it doesn't really work like that, okay? And oftentimes when it comes to our health and wellness, I think we also confuse doing more with being healthier. But if you really boil down what doing more means, actually, health and wellness very often is about doing less. Having peace and calmness with food is often about chasing our tails and our thinking less when it comes to our thoughts. So perhaps this week, I invite you, if you'd like to challenge that idea that peace has ever really come from doing more. Separating that from the tasks and the habits. Of course, there might be a healthy habit that you could practice more consistently that will support you with those more tangible outcomes, for sure. But that mental clarity bit, that peace, that self-confidence, that belief in yourself is not going to come from doing more, because you already have a very deep well of self-belief. And I think we just forget that we all do. And I think that self-belief, that deep well, that's that feeling that maybe you've tapped into before if you've done a mindfulness practice or you've practiced being in the moment, allowing things to be how they will be in that moment without fighting or resisting. It's that, I don't even want to say acceptance. It's just from being here in the moment and then being here in this next moment and onwards and onwards. That's not doing more. That's doing, if anything, so much less. So, man, I hope that that episode makes sense. I hope that this concept makes sense, because it's, and I've said this on plenty of episodes before, especially when we're talking about more intangible concepts, we're not talking about strictly, well, let's figure out your to-do list to get all those 8,000 steps that you want because X, Y, and Z. Yes, we can use that as part of an example, as I clearly did, but hopefully that makes sense, that the intangible of what you believe about yourself to be true or not true is separate than the habit, and the habits can, like, it's separate, but it can be supportive as well. But all too often, I think we conflate doing the habits with being the person who has all the self-belief. Whereas what I'm trying to say is we all naturally have very deep wells of self-belief. And often we forget about them, or we focus on the areas where we think we don't have them, and then we wonder why, and then we get distracted by our thinking, and then we think we have to think more to feel more peaceful. And what I'm trying to say here today is that that is not necessarily how it works, or how I have seen it to work. So I'm going to end the episode here. Thank you so much for being here. And I really appreciate you. And you're a cool cat. You're a super cool cat. I don't want you to forget that, okay? All right. Until next week. Bye.
Hey, if you love today's show, I'd love for you to take a minute and give a rating with a review. If you too are ready for more women to make life choices from loving mindfulness, that means we need more women listening to this message so they know what's available to them and they can do it too. And if you're ready yourself, come coach with me, where we'll work together and you'll learn how to take this process to the next level in your wellness goals, life desires, and beyond. Go to luciahawley.com, that's luciahawley.com to connect.